Well, as the Lord would lead me tonight, and I feel like it's the message that I ought to bring to you this evening. I'm going to preach to you just a few minutes on the subject, This Little Light of Mine. They said, Hank Williams Jr. wrote a song called I Saw the Light. And I don't know if he saw it or not, but that's pretty good words in that song. He kind of missed it a little bit by the time he died. But the word said, I wandered so aimless, life filled with sin. I wouldn't let my dear Savior in. Then Jesus came like a stranger in the night. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. That's good, ain't it? I don't know if he saw it or not. That's a good song, and I like the words to it. And tonight, I'm glad I saw that light. As an 18-year-old on my face at Nebo Baptist Church, I saw the light. Ever since then, I've had a light in my soul. Jesus said, while I am in the world, I am the light of the world. What do he mean by that? While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. You know what he meant? He meant when I leave, something else is the light of the world. That's us. This little light of mine. Look at Genesis chapter 1. Help me out now, mamas. Everybody, I want everybody to be able to hear this. There was too much baby noise in here this morning. So please, please be considerate of everybody else around you. And I'm going to read a verse here in Genesis 1, then I'm going to read a verse in John 1, okay? Genesis 1, verse 3, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided light from the darkness. Darkness ain't never been light. Light ain't never been dark. God divided light from darkness. They can't both be together. Did you know if you come in here and it's pitch dark? I came in here last night about 12 o'clock. You couldn't see anything. Them red exit lights, that's all you'd see in here. It's dark. I went over there and I flipped that, hit that switch, and I showed that light and darkness cannot stay in the same room. One of them's going to leave. If you turn the light on, the darkness disappears. John chapter 1. John chapter 1, verse 5. And the light. John chapter 1, verse number 5. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There's a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, capital L, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Look at verse number 10. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. I'm preaching on this little light of mine. God made light before he ever made the sun. God has always divided light from darkness. I like that song the kids sing every now and then. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine till Jesus comes. I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine till Jesus comes. I'm going to let it shine. Now, as we talk about the light of the Lord, and I'm sure most of you understand what I'm talking about tonight, but I want to say three things about it. I've heard old songs that said, walking in the light, walking in the light, walking in the light of the Lord. Sunlight, sunlight in my soul today. Sunlight, sunlight all along the way. You know, that's not talking about just the real sun out there shining down on you. That's talking about the light of God leading you and the Word of God. Now, the first thing I want to say about the light is, number one, don't turn away from it. The Bible said in Proverbs 6:23, "For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is a light." After God has showed you something in the Word of God, and you have received light on it, you are on dangerous ground by turning away. A man is better off to not even know the way he should go than to know the way he should go and turn from it. And there's a lot of people tonight, boy, I tell you what, they got a lot of light. There's a lot of light right here in McDowell County, in this part of North Carolina. The Bible's been preached and preached and preached for so many years that people, the average sinner in McDowell County, knows more about God or heaven or hell than a lot of religious people do in other countries of the world. We've got a lot of light. But it is very, very dangerous to turn away from the light. You remember that story over there in the Old Testament and Pharaoh, when Pharaoh was holding God's people in bondage. And you know how that God called Moses to deliver the children of Israel out of Egypt's bondage. So Moses went to the Lord and he said, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" He said, "Go in there and tell Pharaoh that I said to let my people go." And Moses said, "Well, what if he won't do it?" And the Lord said, "I'll take care of him, buddy. You just do what I tell you to do." So Moses went into Pharaoh that day, and he went, knocked on the door, and they told him to come in. He said, "All right, big boy, we've had enough of this stuff. You let God's children go." And you know what he said, don't you? He said, "Get out of here, man. You're getting on my nerves." He said, "I don't know God, neither will I let the children of Israel go." And Moses looked back at him and he said, "All right, we'll see about that." And he took his rod, threw it down, you know, and it turned into a snake, stuck his hand in here, pulled it out, had leprosy, stuck it back in there, pulled it out, didn't have leprosy, and done all those signs. Now, the Bible said that Pharaoh hardened his heart. Pharaoh knew that Moses, God, was God, but he just literally refused to believe it and go along with it. That put Pharaoh in a dangerous position, brother. Because after that, the Bible said that God hardened Pharaoh's heart. And brother, did you know that there's an old saying among preachers, and it says, light rejected becomes lightning. If a man rejects the Word of God, that same Word of God will condemn him. And if a person out here tonight, if you go knock on their door and you say, "Listen, the Bible said you must be born again," and they say, "I don't want to hear that stuff. I'm sick and tired of people preaching to me. Take that stuff and get out of here with it." Do you know what will happen to that person? Their lives will get so blind that they'll believe a devil's lie. They say that every time you reject one of God's truth, you accept one of the devil's lies. If you reject two of God's truths, you accept two of the devil's lies. If you reject five of God's truths, you accept five of the devil's lies. Light rejected becomes lightning. Now I'm telling you tonight, ladies and gentlemen, if God's shown you the light, if you're here tonight and you know good and well there's a heaven, you know there's a hell, you know there's a God, and you know there's a judgment, but you are deliberately being stubborn and saying no to that God, you're putting yourself in dangerous ground, friend, as turning away from the light. You know what? You won't let the light in. You know why people don't like that light in? Because it gets in your eyes. And brother, that's why you can't get people to come to hear the Word of God. Listen, if you've been in a dark room for a long time, you don't want somebody come and shine a light in your eyes. I remember out there the other day, they put me in this cabin. I stayed the last couple of days in this cabin. I mean, way up in the woods. Nothing but trees and stuff around it. You talk about quiet, man. And boy, I went in there and I pulled them shades down. And I was dead tired Thursday night after the service. We'd had visitation that morning. And I got a bunch of other stuff running around done. And done some other stuff running around in town. And then took off over yonder and then preached that night, and I didn't realize how tired I was. I went in there and I conked out. And the next morning, I got to bed, I guess, about 1 o'clock or 1:30. And the next morning, boy, I woke up, and boy, it was still dark. And I said, hallelujah. It feels good to get to sleep a little bit. And boy, I tell you, I woke up about an hour later, and it was still dark. And I said, hallelujah, I'm getting to sleep. Boy, it felt good. I didn't know what time it was, didn't it? That's the first time I've done that in a long time. And buddy, you know what? It was pitch dark in there, and I don't tell nobody this, but I looked at the clock. It was 5 minutes to 11. It was 11. I stayed in bed at 11 o'clock, and as long as I remember, I couldn't tell what time it was, man. I was sleepy, too. And buddy, I tell you what, it felt so good. That light come shining through there, and I went outside, and you know, looked around like that. I felt like a dog, and I just fooled around, you know, and read and prayed that day, Friday. That's what that day it was. But it was a blessing. It really was. And you know, it just stayed dark. It felt so good. I went out there, that light. I didn't want that light shining in my eyes. If somebody's been in a dark room for about 3 or 4 hours, and they're in there, you know, and they're in there being cool, you know, and they're in there smoking them a joint or something like that, and you take about a 300-watt flood bulb like that and go zzz, and shine it right on the first thing they do is like this. Get that thing out of my face. I don't want that light in my eyes. I tell you, that's why people don't like to come to church. You know what we do when we come to church? Boy, I tell you, take this old book and you start reading this thing and start preaching. It's just shining a light on them cockroaches. And boy, I tell you what, them things start running for the cracks. You know what? You better not turn away from the light, man. The light's only hope they are for your soul. I've had lots of people come here and they said, who told you what I was doing? I said, nobody. I don't even know you. They said, well, who told you that I've done this? Who told you I was here this morning? I said, nobody told me. I've got a book right here that knows your thoughts and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And it's very, very dangerous to turn away from the light. Let me say this tonight. Receiving light from God's Word has absolutely nothing to do with how much education you've got. There's some people that are highly educated that ain't got one bit of light from this book. God is not interested in how smart you are or how high your IQ is when it comes to giving you light. I've seen some people, brother, couldn't even pronounce the words in the Bible right and get this old book down and get more light out of there than some PhDs that I've heard get up and stammer around and try to preach. Buddy, I tell you what, brother, if a man's got a sincere heart and a believing mind and a humble attitude, he can come and just lay this old book down and say, dear God, shine that light on me. God, open up my heart. Shine it down. And it won't be long, but there'll be sunlight shining in his soul. I've heard some of them old-time preachers get up, and they've never been even graduated from high school. And buddy, I'll tell you, they dig more truths out of this book than some of those other fellas that got it all just right and pronounced the word just right. And they're preaching dead as last year's bird nest. I'm telling you, brother, there's an old preacher in this country years ago. He died in 1942, and his name was Bud Robinson, Uncle Bud Robinson. He was a great old preacher, and I'm going to tell you just a little bit about his story of how he got called, or how he was born. They said years and years, years ago, I think it was maybe, I believe it was 1860, that our Uncle Bud was born. And Uncle Bud, he was a preacher that loved God, and he sat in a little old log cabin with a mud chimney, with a just going halfway up the cabin, no windows in it, a dirt floor, and a hollow log for a cradle. January 27, 1860, Uncle Bud was born in White County, Tennessee. His mom and daddy named him Reuben Robinson. I don't know who nicknamed him Bud, but it stuck with him throughout all of his ministry. And that old boy preached, and he preached, and he made a great Christian for God. And he didn't get saved till he was 20 years old in a camp meeting out in Texas. And he said his daddy died, and his mom was left to raise 10 children by herself. And she took those 10 children and sold everything that she had and took them 3 days to get to Nashville, Tennessee, where they could catch a train. They got out to Nashville, Tennessee. It took another 3 days from Nashville, Tennessee, out to, I think, around Hubbard City, Texas, somewhere out there where they finally landed. And Bud got him a job on the ranch with old cow folks and cow hands and riding horses and bringing in cattle. And of course he got around gambling and he got around sin. And by the time he was 20 years old, he was in wicked sin. But they used to have them old camp meetings back then, and Bud went to one of them camp meetings. And by this time his mom had really got right with God, and he said his old mama shouted and praised God. He said he remembered when he was young that his mama would be down at the well house and she'd come back up with a bucket of water shouting the praises of God. But you don't hear too many women shouting the praises of God no more, do you? I mean, when's the last time you teenagers up here heard your mama shouting in the house or out in the yard? Buddy, I tell you, that's what's missing in Christianity today. We've got some shouting in the church, and that's even rare in most places. But where's the shouting at home? Where's the shouting in the backyard? Where's the shouting on the in the back of the house at the picnic table? It's few and far between. And old Bud said he remembered his mama shouting. He got down to that meeting, and boy, they prayed him under conviction. And he said the man priest, and he said there's an old gray-haired woman come up to him. And buddy, she said she laid her hand on his head, an old white-haired mama. And he said that old mama put her hand on his head, stuck out that little old bony hand, and put it on there. And he said she commenced to pray. And buddy, he said she prayed the awfulest prayer ever was. And he said something told me. He said there's a voice said, you better get up and get out of here, because these people's about ready to get you into this stuff. And he said I couldn't move. He said I wanted to move, but I couldn't move. He said that old woman kept putting her hand on my head harder and harder and harder. I thought she was going to push me in hell. He said she pushed me and she pushed me. And he said that old woman kept praying, oh God, save this boy, oh God. And there he just sat, 20 years old, with that old grandma with her hand on his head. Buddy, I tell you what, boy, light shone down in his soul. And Bud Robinson never even went to school and never learned how to read. When he got saved, when he's 20 years old, he could not even write his name. It took him 3 days to learn to write Bud Robinson. And buddy, God shined in his soul that night. He hadn't been taking a course, and nobody took him down the Roman road. He hadn't been reading the Bible. It was just God Almighty shined light down from heaven and got a hold of him, and God saved him that night. He said that first night he's saved, he went home and laid down in his log cabin, and God called him to preach. And he talked like 50, he couldn't even talk plain. So I thought with a lift in his tongue like this. And he said, I'm going to be a preacher. And everybody said, you can't be a preacher. He said, yes, I can. I'm going to be a preacher. And they said, you crazy man. You can't read. You can't talk. You ain't been saved. What do you mean? He said, God called me a preacher. And buddy, I tell you what, that old boy cut loose and he began to preach, and he went to get license. He went to get his license to be an exhorter from the Methodist Church, and they wouldn't license it. And then they finally changed their mind and said, okay, well, go ahead and we'll let him exhort a little bit. And he went out and exhorted 90 people into the family of God in just a few short weeks. And buddy, the power of God come on that old boy. Here's the kind of dedication. He said, I'll never forget the last time I seen my little old mother. He said, I went to see her. She's about 90-something years old, something like that, 87. He said, man, my mother sang old hymns together. We ran around to some of the old saints of God's homes, and we sung homes, and we'd shout together. He said, that's the last time I ever looked on my beautiful old mother's face. He said, I will never forget. Mom sang, and I sang, and we quoted scripture and shouted together. He said, that's the last time I ever seen my mama. But he shouted the victory with his old grandmother. They had mom. And in 1920, in May, that was in May when he saw her last. In November 1921, he was preaching a meeting in Henrietta, Oklahoma, and somebody sent word to him that his mother was sick in Hubbard City, Texas, and about ready to die, and they went and asked their mama. They said, "Mama, you want us to send and get Buddy and bring him down here to see you before you die?" And she said, "Lord, no, don't get him down here." She said, "Here, it wouldn't do him no." She said, "He's in a meeting up there. What if he was to leave that meeting and come down here and see me, and a dozen souls should be lost?" You know what happened that night? A dozen people got saved. He stayed and preached. 12 people got saved. Mama went home to be with Jesus. And they called him that night and said, "Bud, long distance." They said, "Your mama's gone." And a few days later, he showed up. Wouldn't even go to the cemetery because he said mama wasn't out there. He said, "She is headed for the city in the skies." And brother, I'm telling you, you know, just something's missing in this modern day Christianity that them old-time preachers had and the old-time saints of God had. I'm glad God's been good enough to me to get in on a little bit of the glory of God where some light shines down every now and then. You know what to make a man quit sinning? Light shining on him. You think about, you know what Isaiah said when he saw the Lord? "Woe is me." You can preach to people you're blue in the face. You can threaten your teenagers and tell them you're going to ground them and take the telephone away and everything else, and they'll sneak around behind your back and do wrong. Boy, I'll tell you, you let God shine that light on them one good time, and they'll get right around up here in this altar. I've seen it happen. They'll do right when mom and daddy ain't. They'll put mom and daddy in shame. They'll put my night in a conviction when they get just right real good. Don't turn away from it. Second thing I want to say about your light is walk while you have it. The Lord's made an interesting statement in John chapter 12. If you want to look at it just a second, very interesting verse. John chapter 12. I'm going to hurry along. John chapter 12, verse 35 and 36. John chapter number 12, Jesus said unto them, "Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth." And the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, you don't have to turn to it, verse 6. The Bible said, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our heart, whether we're here to walk while we have it." John chapter 8 says, "I am the light of the world." Listen, if you turn out the light, the room goes dark. You can't see. I don't care how good your lights are, or your eyes are, if ain't no lights, can't see. Proverbs 4:18 said, "The path of the just is as a bright shining light that groweth more and more unto the perfect day." Walk while you have the light. You know what they say? They say a plant will not grow without light. That's why we got all these fake flowers in here. If you put real flowers in here, you have to move them, set them outside, light shine on them. They can't live without it. Brother, I'm telling you, a Christian can't grow without some light shining on him. Christian can't grow without some light shining on him. You know what? I've seen people, and I'm not trying to be ugly or mean or hateful or nothing like that, but a lot of these people say, well, they go to these dead formal churches. And I tell you, I believe it's a sin for a man that's on fire for God to sit in a cold, dead, liberal church just because his grandma's buried up on the hill somewhere, or just because his parents went there 4,000 years before he was ever born. But I tell you what, you better guess where some light is, or you're going to quit growing. You better, listen, a lot of people say, "Boy, Brother Denny, we sure have a lot of problems here at New Manor." Yeah, we do, but I'll tell you something else we got here. We got some light, and you can grow underneath that light. And I've got to put up with a few rocks and a few thistles and a snake running through every now and then, or a lizard coming through the garden, and have a sun shining on me where I can grow a little bit. The third thing I'll say tonight, don't let the world block it out. See, the song says, "Hide it under a bushel." No! I'm going to let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. No!
I'm going to let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. No! I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine. I'm going to let this little light shine. What God's put in me. Don't listen. Listen, I don't know if I can do this or not. You probably can't tell. Them lights right there are supposed to be shining on right down in here somewhere. Now let's see if you can see that one right there on the end. It's supposedly shining right in my face. Now watch. When I do this tonight, here comes something. It comes around like this. See if you can see my face get dark. Did it? Okay. You know what happened? If that was the only light in here and all these other ones was off, you'd see my face get dark when that light or something blocks it out. You know what I'm saying to you tonight? Don't let the world block out the light that God's giving you, shining down on you. Don't let Him do it. Don't let the world come between you and God. You've heard the illustration before, I'm sure. The sun, the S-U-N, up there in the sky tonight, is a picture of all the heat and light that comes from this world. Everything in this world gets heat and light from the sun. That's a picture of Jesus, the S-O-N. Now, the moon in the Bible is a picture of the church. Now, you know as well as I know that the moon has no light of its own. Every bit of light that you see from the moon, it reflects off of the sun. The moon has no light of its own. It reflects light from the sun. And brother, let's just say now, if you paid attention in school, I remember in school they taught us that it was like this. Let's just use you boys up here. You three right here. Come here and say. Now, let's say tonight that Jonathan, you come up here and you're going to be the sun. You get right there. He's going to be the sun shining. He's got on them tennis shoes from Detroit or somewhere. And boy, he'll blind you with them things right there. And this thing right here, he's shining down. Now, the old world here is out of the picture since you got saved. Here you are saved, represented by Brother Gene Bailey. And Brother Gene here is going to represent the church. And he's shining real bright, and he's just all white and made pure in the blood of the Lamb. And his light is shining to a dark world. Now, as long as he's the sun, the S-U-N, he's a picture of the sun, the S-O-N. Now, the sun shines on the moon, right? Now, stop, hold this, hold it right there. You're shining right down on it. Now, here's the world. The old wicked, filthy, nasty, ungodly, hateful, wicked, demon-possessed world. Right here it is. And, buddy, let me tell you something. The world rotates around the sun like this. At least they say it does. And the moon, they say, is going around like this, and it's going around the world. Now, that creates all kind of weird little combinations there. And sometimes the world will get between the sun and the moon. If the world's just this much between the sun and the moon, you just see a half moon, right? When the world's way over here out of the way, you see what's called full moon. When the world's out of the picture and the sun is shining directly on the moon, the people, we little people down here in the world, we say, wow, man, look at that moon shining bright tonight. That is a picture of the church. And brother, ladies and gentlemen, tonight, you boys just stay right there. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight, that's what this world needs to see. They need to see a church that the world is away from. That's away, that's unhooked from this world. The world will block out our light shining to this old dark world. And brother, we're supposed to, the only light this world will ever see is what they see the sun reflecting off of me and you to a dark and dying world. Now listen, you know what happens when the moon, when the world gets right here between the sun and the moon? What's called that? Somebody tell me. You call that an eclipse. And the moon goes out because the world come between the moon and the sun. Yeah. Don't let Satan it out. I'm going to let it shine. Don't let Satan... I'm spitting his ear. I'm going to let it shine. Don't let Satan hit out. I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, man. Let it shine. Don't let the world come between you and the sun. Okay, you boys sit down. I'm going to tell you tonight, brother, there's some of us sitting here tonight. Listen, there's some of us sitting here tonight. You've let the world come in between you and the Son of God. You used to shine bright. You used to glow for Jesus Christ. But little by little, that old world has got in there between you. And it's jealous. It wants that place back. It wants to block out that light. Don't let the world block it out. You can't see the light tonight because the world is between you and the sun. You can't get a blessing in church tonight because the world is between you and the sun. All right, you listening? You can't adopt this world's attitudes. And accept this world's philosophy. You can't run with the world's crowd and think like they think and talk like they talk and have the light shining on you. Can't do it. Make up your mind. Make up your mind. Some of you sitting here tonight, you say, Brother Danny, there was a time when I knew the light was shining on me, but I've let this old world. What is the world? Now, according to some preachers, there's about five things that's the world, and as long as you don't do them things, you're all right. That's a bunch of baloney. The world is a whole lot more than drinking, cussing, stealing, murder, and adultery, and robbing banks. Martin Luther, I believe it was, said one time, he said, whatever cools my affection for Jesus Christ is the world. It can be a boat. It can be a habit. It can be money. It can be a job. It can be a house. It can be your schooling, your grades, your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your husband, your wife, a coon dog. It can be a fishing pole. Listen, if something is coming in between you and the Lord, that's the world. I don't care what it is. It can be soap operas. How you can stomach them, I'll never know. But I know some of you ladies, you watch them one time and you get hooked. Because see, they fool around there for 25 minutes. And that last 2 minutes, they make it real interesting. And the music goes, oh, I got to turn it on tomorrow and see if he kills her. And it's just like a devil. Some people get into them things. You hear about that old woman went down to revival meeting? She's all to pieces. She got up and said, pray for so-and-so. They'll operate on her tomorrow. You know, it was on one of them. She thought that was real. Let's pray for so-and-so and so-and-so that they'll get back together. That's the world, man. That's the world. You know what the world is? It's that jungle funk. Jungle funk's the world. In case you're new here and don't know what jungle funk, it's this. That's jungle funk. You know what that'll do? It'll knock the light off of you. It'll knock the light. I know good and well what I'm... Oh, it feels good to know the Lord. And I went out in my car. I had a Grand Funk Railroad tape and crammed it in a tape player and cranked that thing up. And I just went, psh. And I went, dude, I feel yucky. I don't feel like I did while ago in church. And I'd heard preachers preach about it and I thought they was crazy. But God showed me that night. There's two different spirits. And them two different spirits can't go together.
Take your pick.
Hide it under a bushel.
No! Don't let Satan blow it out. Let the devil, don't let the world mock you light out.
Listen, friend, you may be sitting here tonight. You've gave up your life for a cheap thrill of the flesh. You've gave up your life for a little cheap sin that ain't worth nothing no way. All the blessings you're missing. All the joy you're forfeiting. All the peace you're losing. Because you refuse to sacrifice that world and put that world out of your life. In order to let the sun shine on you. The reason you can't see the light is because the world between you and the sun. Who is she that looketh forth as the morning, fair as the moon, clear as the sun, terrible as an army with banners? That's a church. Song of Solomon 6:10. Jesus said, don't hide your light under a bushel. Let that thing shine. I'm going to do something tonight that I don't guess I've ever done. I just want to sing a song. I don't even know if we know it. I'm going to find it here in this songbook. I want everybody to get one of these songbooks right here. I guess Brother John knows this song. It's number 255. We're going to stop right here and sing this song. The old account was settled by long ago. Brother John, if you'll come. I just wanted to hear this song. Now, I want to tell you what we're going to do tonight. We're going to stand in just a moment, and we're going to sing this old song. There was a time on earth when in the book of heaven an old account was standing for sins yet unforgiven. My name was at the top and many things below. I went unto the keeper and settled long ago. I've been wanting to hear that. And I wish you'd do me a favor tonight. Everybody just sing it out just as loud as you can sing it out. And this is the way we'll have an invitation. If you want to just rejoice, rejoice. But I tell you what, I believe we need to take care of something first. If you're here tonight and the world has come between you and the Son of God, it'd be a good time while we're singing. Come down here and say, Lord, don't let Satan blow it out. I'm going to let it shine. Don't let Satan blow it out. I'm going to let it shine. I hadn't told you nothing tonight that you didn't already know. I hadn't preached you some deep new thing you've never heard before. I'm just reminding you, the world will block your light out. Don't let him do it. Just get it took care of tonight. As we rejoice and sing this old song. Nay, but one thing can cheat a Christian out of his joy. That's sin. That's sin. Get it took care of tonight. Let's all stand. Number 255. You need to come and pray. Come on right now. Everybody sing.
There was a time on earth.
Yes.
When in the book of heaven.
Think about it.
An old account was standing. For sin can forgive. My name was at the top and many things below. I went unto the keeper and settled long,
hey!
Long ago, long ago. Yes, the old account was settled long ago.
Hallelujah!
And the record's clear today, for he was my sins away when the old account was settled long.
We've got something. Come up here praying tonight. Maybe there's others. Maybe there's others. You got something between you and the Lord? All right, where's the youth choir? I want all the youth choir, raise your hand. You see down there where it says hallelujah? When we get to that part, I want you to scream that as loud as you can, okay? Hallelujah! Like that, okay? Are you ready? I mean it now. I want you to ring it out. Here we go. Say it first. Sing it!
The old account was large and growing every day, for I was always sinning and never tried to pay. But when I looked ahead and saw such pain and woe, I said that I would settle and settle long ago.
Get ready, kids.
Yes, the old account settled long ago.
that wasn't good at all on that hallelujah. I heard me and two or three more. Let's practice without singing right now. When I point at you, kids, youth choir, when I point at you, you say hallelujah. Ready? 1, 2, 3.
Hallelujah.
That's a little bit better. You ain't doing too good back there, girls. I couldn't hear nothing from that 250 of you over yonder in that corner. There's little faces all over that section of the church over there. Couldn't hear anything. I only hear you. Listen, you got horse talk so much while I was preaching. You ready? 1, 2, 3.
Hallelujah.
Good. All right. Now we're going to do it. Third verse. Now when I point at you, that's your cue to the hallelujah. Ready? Go ahead, Brother John.
When at the judgment bar I stand before my King, and He the book will open, He cannot find a thing.
Woo! He can't find a thing in there.
My tears of joy.
Oh, glory!
Because I had it settled, and settled long ago, long ago, long ago. Yes, the old account was settled long ago. And the record's clear today, for He washed my sins away. When the old account was settled long ago.
All right, this time I want everybody to do that hallelujah. Everybody. You can get them in there, and the old account settled long ago. Hallelujah, and the record's clear. You can't get a breath. I mean, it's a good time for you to quit smoking right here. Right here. Save that money and give it to missionaries. Amen. Good time to quit right here. Start jogging. Good time to get you some exercise. Everybody's going to do the hallelujah. Here we go. Go ahead, Brother John.
When in that happy home, my Savior's home above, I'll sing redemption's story and praise Him for His love. I'll not forget that book with pages white as snow, because I came and settled. Sinner, seek the Lord, repent of all your sins, for thus He hath commanded, if you would enter in, and then if you should live 100 years below, up there you'll not regret it. You settled long ago, long ago, long ago.